desire your prayer this afternoon that we would get a little bit more from the Scripture, like to just pick up from where we left off this morning, recognizing that we have a standard that we're going to be judged by, and that is the standard of the Word, and that Word was lived out in Christ Jesus. And that is a standard that does not change. Again, many times when people question practices of living, let me put it that way, and there are standards that we each one individually hold in our life that are not spelled out in the Word of God. And we need to have those standards. Because if we don't have a standard against the tide of the world, we will find ourselves flowing right back into the world. And so standards in our life are important, but we want to understand where all of that stems from is from following the example that Jesus left us. And that is something that does not change. It is fixed. It is settled. And that is why it is imperative that we understand the life of Christ. How did Jesus live? What was important to Him? What were His priorities? How did He conduct Himself? And then the call is for us today, live that way. Live according to that standard. And like I said, when people get into discussions of some standards that you may hold in your life, you will frequently find that people are not living up to the chief standard to start with. And that chief standard is according to the life of Christ. So the life and attitudes of Christ, many of those are found in the Scripture. And in the Sermon on the Mount, in the 5th chapter of Matthew, I want us to understand that Jesus raised the standard. Now, the standard of the law, people say, well, today in this dispensation, we don't live by the do's and the don'ts. We don't live by the thou shalt's and the thou shalt not's. But we must understand, Jesus said, I came not to destroy the law, but I came to fulfill it. And any time you find an individual that says, we don't live according to law, it's just if our heart's right, that's all that matters. And there's no law, there's no thou shalt and thou shalt not. They don't understand the standard of Jesus Christ. Jesus did not only come to fulfill the law, He came and He raised the standard of what was acceptable to God. For an example, and we won't take the time to work our way through the Sermon on the Mount today, but remember all through the passage of the 5th and 6th chapter of Matthew, Jesus said, you have heard that it hath been said of old, thou shalt love thy neighbor and hate thine enemy. Or you love your friends, but you hate your enemy. And Jesus said, but I say unto you, thou shalt love thy enemies. Pray for them that despitefully use you and persecute you. Jesus raised the standard of the law. According to the law, if someone did something wrong to you, if they hit you on the right cheek, what were you supposed to do? No, according to the law, hit them back. Now don't go beyond what they did to you, but you have the right to pay back an eye and an eye and a tooth for a tooth. Jesus said, it hath been said of an old, an eye and an eye and a tooth for a tooth. That was the law. But Jesus said, but I say unto you, if someone strike thee on the right cheek, Brother Randy, what are we supposed to do? Jesus raised the standard. We said, we're not living under the law. No, we are living under a higher standard of the example that Jesus left for us. If someone mistreats us, we need to say, what did Jesus do? Jesus raised the standard and He said, love your enemies. He said, forgive them. Let it go. Commit it to the Lord. That's the standard that Jesus set. Ye have heard that hath been said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Okay, there's a commandment, thou shalt not. Did Jesus leave it there? Jesus said, but I say unto you, if a man look on a woman and lust after her in his heart, he hath committed adultery already. Folks, Jesus did not do away with most aspects of the law, but He fulfilled it and He raised the standard. And it now, not only does it deal with an outward sin, it deals with the inner man. And again, this was not about being tempted now. That's not what lust is. Lust is not temptation, but lust is when you are tempted and you allow it down in your spirit and you say, I would if I could. In essence, that's what it is. And it's in your heart to do wrong, even though you say, I won't do it. But you want to in your heart. You've allowed that to get in your spirit. Jesus raised a standard, and he said, if you get that in your heart, he said, it's the same thing as if you committed adultery. Folks, that's our example. This is what Jesus taught. This is unchangeable. Well, the scripture goes on in verse 20. I do want to read that. Matthew 5, verse 20. He said that I accept your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees. Ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Jesus did not come and lower the standard of holiness. He did not come and say, just live however you want to live and just profess Christ as your personal Lord and Savior. He said, accept your righteousness, exceed what the scribes and the Pharisees had. The only way that we can follow the example of Jesus is if we have had a change in our spirit, a change in our heart, and that therein will enable us to live like Christ lived. Yes, we're still tempted. Yes, we still feel the draw from the world. Yes, there are things that we battle against, but by the grace of God, there is the power that I can still live like Jesus lived. I can still follow His example. I don't want to fall into a place that I come to service and say, what is the standard? And I say, alright, here's the list, 1 through 10. And if you follow this rule and that rule and you look this way and you don't go there and you don't have this in your home, you're accepted to God. The carnal man, more often than not, can measure to a list of rules. But the carnal man can never rise to the standard and the example of Jesus Christ. Because it takes a heart change. It takes the grace of God to enable us to live to the standard of Christ. He didn't come to destroy it, folks, but Jesus raised the standard. And He raised the bar, and it's fixed, and it's unmovable. Jesus over in Acts in the 10th chapter, it speaks about Christ. And there's much more that could be said on each of these points and a lot more than what could be said this afternoon. But again, the burden here is that even hereunto were ye called. As Christ suffered for us, leaving us an example that ye should follow His steps. He left us an example that we're to follow. Acts 10:38. It said how God anointed Jesus of Nazareth with the Holy Ghost and with power, who went about doing good. Do you realize that's our standard today? If we are to walk as He walked, if we are to follow His example, we need to say, what is the standard? What was the example? What was the pattern He set? It said He went about doing good. Is that the standard of the world? The world is all about me, isn't it? What I can get, what feels good to me, what I can amass. The standard of Jesus Christ was that He went about doing good for other people. He thought more of others than He did of Himself. Folks, that's the standard. That's what we are called to this afternoon, is that our life, that we ought to be full of good works. We're not saved by Him. Let's not misunderstand. We're not saved by Him, but they can keep you out of heaven if you don't do it. Because when our heart is right, following the example of Christ, the good fruits ought to flow out of our life. He went about doing good. It means then that we find, as you look through the scripture and read the Gospels, you find that Jesus did not stay in the synagogue with his arms folded or bowed in prayer, praying the whole time, did he? I told you before, I knew a man that prayed 3 hours every morning in his devotions. Does anybody beat that here? Every morning he prayed for 3 hours, but he was, he had a lustful spirit. He's lost out with God. He wouldn't follow the advice that we gave him, scriptural advice. He wouldn't follow it, but he still prayed 3 hours every morning. Folks, it's not enough for us to stay in prayer and say, I'm going to keep myself from the world. Jesus called us, yes, spend time in prayer. Come together, let's encourage one another. But we weren't called to be an isolated people. We were called to go out and do good for other people. Go out as servants, as ministers of good things to those around about us. Helping people, feeding, listening, extending our hand of service to people. Do you remember Jesus? So many times in the Gospels it said He looked over the multitude and it said He was moved with what? He was moved with compassion. His heart was moved. Folks, that's our standard today. Someone says, well, you're not up to the standard. Well, are we up to the standard? Our example is that we look on people that have needs, not get on our spiritual soapbox and look down, oh, how wicked they are. That's not what Jesus did. Jesus maintained holiness and purity, but he was there to extend his hand to those that were hurting and helpless and minister hope to them. And that is our standard today. That is a Bible standard, and the Lord is calling us to be more like him today. The standard of Christ, you may say, well, you're saying this doing good thing, you're taking that out of context. You know what Matthew 25 teaches? Remember we had a picture, Jesus gave a picture of the judgment scene? And in this scene, do you remember what he was teaching was a standard of judgment in that passage of Scripture? It was good works. He said, I was naked and you fed me. I was naked and you clothed me. I was hungry and you fed me. And he said, I was in prison and you visited me. And he said, enter thou into the joy of the Lord. And to the others, he said, in essence, summing it up, I had need. And he said, you just looked and walked the other way. And those people didn't make it to heaven. The people that came to church. The people that prayed. The people that said were pious and righteous. Folks, adhering to a set of rules does not mean that we're measured to the standard of Jesus Christ. It starts in the heart, and it is to be lived out in a very real, practical way in our life that we are interested in serving those around about us. The Scripture says, as you have therefore opportunity or occasion, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. The message of the gospel was, whosoever will, let him come, wasn't it? And the Scripture also says about Jesus, he came unto his own. John, the first chapter. It said, he came unto his own, and his own received him not. But to such as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God. In essence, what that tells me, when I start considering the example that Jesus left, and what he has called us to today, he is calling us to not be a respecter of persons. The gospel is to all people. It is to the rich. It is to the poor. It is to the black. It's to the white. It's to the Indian. It's to men of all nations, of all creeds. It's to men and women alike. It's to children who have understanding that can open up their heart to God. And God is no respecter of persons. We are taught that as well. Over in the book of James in the second chapter, verse 1. It teaches us that God was no respecter of persons, and we're not to be respecter of persons either. Folks, as children of God, the example that Christ set for us is that we accept people on their own merits as someone that has a soul, regardless of their economic social status. Doesn't matter where they're from. It doesn't matter what they've done in their past. It doesn't matter what color they are. It doesn't matter what they have in the bank or what they don't. Those things don't matter to God. And we need, as following his example, to be very careful that we too are not respecter of persons. And in the book of James, he said, if a man comes in and clothed in rich in richness, and you know, he has gold and he's rich, arrayed richly, and we come and give him the best place to sit. No, we just cater his needs. But someone that's poor and doesn't have comes in and don't talk to him, just let them kind of do their own thing because they're not as important. That's sin. That's sin. Jesus set an example and he said, you're not to be a respecter of persons. That's our example. That is the standard today. Jesus, we won't take the time to read it. The Scripture said that Jesus, over Matthew 11, it says he was a friend to who? To who? I think I heard it. To sinners. Matthew 11, 19. Jesus was a friend to sinners. And because of that, he was accused, being a wine bibber and a gluttonous. He was accused because he was a friend to sinner. Folks, want to talk about the standard more this afternoon? Want to talk about our example or pattern?
Jesus was a friend to sinners. If the only people I will associate with is those of you who are saved, I have failed to fulfill the commission that Christ gave to me. That's to all of us. He said, can you follow my example? I was a friend to sinner. And do you know when you're a friend to sinner, you're going to suffer a little bit? I'm not talking about fellowshipping the sin. I'm not talking about going and getting in the mud with them. But as Jesus maintained a standard of purity and holiness at the same time, how can you minister hope to someone if you're not willing to go talk to them? How can you be able to minister to someone if you're not able to go be a friend to them? If you're not able to listen to them in their hurts and their disappointments and their struggles, and you look on their sin and think, oh, they ought to know better. But when people are under bondage to the enemy, they can't help but sin, folks. And that's the message of hope that we have, that the Bible has, that there is a Savior who is your friend, and He loves you and He cares for you, and He has the ability to make a difference in your life. That's the example, and that is the standard that we are called to today. I think about how, and I think of this often, how the men that had leprosy, they were considered to be unclean if you have leprosy, weren't they? And you're not supposed to touch them according to the law. They weren't supposed to touch someone with leprosy. And men with leprosy came to Jesus, and He reached out His hand to touch him. And if you will allow me the liberty, it doesn't say it in the Bible, but knowing Peter, I can just see Peter saying, don't touch him, Lord! Don't touch him! No, he's unclean! And the Lord just kind of looking at Peter, shaking his head, reaching out and touching him. And through that touch, that leper was made clean. That was the example of Christ. Are we willing to stretch out our hand to those that everybody else is saying they're unclean? I try to tell the boys, I say, when you go to school, and I know there's people like this in every class, and there's someone that people kind of make fun of. There's a child that maybe everybody kind of just ostracizes and says stuff. I said, you be a friend to them. Because that's the standard. That you never make fun of somebody. Doesn't matter what color they are. It doesn't matter if they're big or little or tall or short. Those things don't matter. Folks, I know that because that's what our example did. That's the standard for us this afternoon. A friend, a sinner. And then Jesus, part of Christ, I think His example that He set, He was unwilling to compromise truth to get a following. That's the standard. Do you know there could be more people here this afternoon if we stopped teaching and preaching and living certain things the Bible teaches? We could bring in the instruments and have a band come in, and we could have some flashy lights, and we could make some changes that we could have more people excited to come to church. We could do that. But it won't minister to the Spirit. And Jesus Himself, when He set the standard, there were those that listened to the teachings of Christ, remember, and they said, we're going to go away. He said, this is a hard saying. And Jesus did not say, well, let me adjust my teaching so you'll stay. But rather, Jesus looked at the others and said, are you going to go away too? Folks, that's the example He left. Let's not be drawn in to politics. Let's not be drawn into making changes that we would have more people here. Let's just be sure what we're teaching and preaching is this right here. This is what will bring life. This is what will bring hope. But we cannot afford today to lower the pure standard of holiness, rising to the example of Jesus Christ, that we can get more people to come in. Jesus set an example. I also see Jesus when He was righteously indignant, when He went into the temple, and people start getting uncomfortable. We like to see the Jesus of love, don't we? We like to see the Jesus that's touching the leper. But Jesus also went into the temple, the place of worship. And He said, this was supposed to be a house of prayer. And He said, you've made it a den of thieves. And He knocked the tables over, and He drove the animals out with a whip. He didn't drive the people out with a whip. You children understand that. But He took a whip, and He drove the animals out because they were making a place of merchandise. That's our example, isn't it? That's our standard, that we should not be willing to compromise truth, purity, and the holiness of God's sanctuary
of how we are to live because others around about us are not living to it. We need to maintain in love and in humility. We need to follow His example. And I'm not going to go tell you to braid your belt together, get ready to drive the animals out. But what I'm saying is when you encounter people that are professing the name of Christ and they are compromising God's word and truth, we cannot afford spiritually to align ourselves with them or we're going to be drawn in with them. We need to be there to hold the truth in love and in meekness. That was Christ's example for us. Over in John in the 12th chapter, John chapter 12, verse 49. And I'm going to conclude with this passage, this last scripture I'll read this afternoon. But I want us to understand this is why it's so important for us to continue to read the Bible. Because this is our standard. This is our example. Jesus, it said, even hereunto were you called. Folks, this is, goes beyond theology today. This is what we are to live. This is what I'm going to be judged on. And Jesus walked as a man with feelings and emotions and temptations to show me how to live. This is the pattern. This is the standard. And He is calling us today. Can you walk a little bit closer? Can you live more like Jesus? It said here in John chapter 12, verse 49. It said, Jesus said, for I have not spoken of myself, but the Father which sent me, He gave me a commandment what I should say and what I should speak. Jesus, the Son of God, did not speak of Himself. Jesus did not come promoting Himself, but He came promoting the things of the Father. So then the challenge is, if that is my example, how can I or how can we as a body of people go out and preach ourselves? Get the point? There are groups that preach themselves. Come and join us. If you join us, you will be where God wants you to be. As God's people, the door is open, and this, by the grace and help of God, is where you will find life because it's where the Word of God is. But just because you join something does not change your spirit. And Jesus Himself said, I came speaking of the Father, and that is the only thing that we have to offer to the world today. I don't have any grace to give anybody here. I don't have any ability to change the addictions and the things that bind people's life. But the glory and the joy and the hope that I have is that there is still a Savior today that I can tell people, I can't, the problem is too big, but I can pray with you. There is one that can minister to the deepest hurts and needs of our spirits. Folks, that's what we ought to be about today. That was our example. That's what Jesus did Himself. And how can we as a people, how can we do less today? It goes on and on thinking about the attributes of Jesus Christ, but He is calling us. He's calling us today to follow His example. He set an unmovable standard that's fixed. So our goal and our purpose and the desire of our heart this afternoon above everything else should be, Lord, I want to follow You. I want to follow Jesus. It's not about conforming yourself to the person sitting next to you today. It's not about saying, I'm my own person. This is where we started this morning. I'll be my own person, get this independent attitude. But Jesus has called us to leave all of those things behind, get our eyes fixed on Him, and follow Him in spirit and in truth. And if we will follow Jesus in His example in this life, folks, one of these days we're going to follow Him right on into heaven. Amen.